Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, wherever you're at today. Welcome to Are You Fit, a show all about promoting health and instilling togetherness. And you know, when we talk about health and wellness, it encompasses many different things. It includes mind, body, and spirit. And today we're going to be talking about the spiritual side of things, and we're going to be talking about the relevance of Rumi's teachings in today's world. Many people all over the world today feel lost, divided, disheartened, and anxious of our collective future. In some ways, that is rightly so with everything we see on the news. But at the same time, we must keep hope alive and take actions toward making our world the way we'd like it to be. So today, Dr. Manzoor Malik joins us to share some of his insight on one of the world's wisest human beings. Rumi was known as a Muslim poet, a jurist, scholar, theologian, and mystic. Hopefully today's show will remind listeners of our spiritual roles on this planet and how taking care of our souls is very much a part of wellness. Dr. Manzoor Malik is an international lawyer from the UAE and has served clients the world over. He is also the chairman of International Diplomat Magazine and the chairman of Diplomat Business Club. His most important role, though, is helping bringing people together by actively promoting peace and love. So welcome, Dr. Manzoor. How are you doing today?
Hello. Thank you very much for taking me on the program again. It is great here. Weather is perfect. And I just enjoyed. Please go ahead.
Most welcome. Well, I'm glad, you know, our time zone is obviously different. So you're in the later in the evening and I'm just starting my afternoon. So we got this, we can figure it out. But I wanted to start off by, you know, for listeners that haven't heard us in the past, I wanted to see if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more about yourself and why you're on this mission also to help promote peace and love.
Okay, so maybe I just tell a little story. Being a lawyer, I was bogged down in work in London, and I don't know why these things were happening. First of all, they started things start happening to me that whole day I work in a law office, and in the evening I cannot go to bed, but I cannot sleep. And when I sleep a little, I have nightmares. I see snakes. Sometimes I see dead bodies, sometimes I see mortuaries, sometimes I see graveyards, sometimes this and that, accident, all these things, and they make me scared that I don't know what to do. And it was continuing, and this is the point actually I turned towards the more towards God, and I thought that maybe my time is up, and this is around maybe, I say, about 20 years back. And then it happened that I thought that, look, I must see the doctor. So I went to my GP in London, and they have no my medical record, my history, because I was quite healthy. They checked me up, and this GP was a lady doctor, very kind. She asked me, I told her very frankly that this is what happened to me. And then she said that, look, all tests we taken, everything is perfect, but I don't know why, maybe you're tired, you should go for holiday or something like that. And this was her advice, and I thought, where I go? Nearest spot was Turkey, so I took like a tour to Turkey, and I went to Istanbul, but I was not feeling comfortable. I was not lost. Then I thought, I go back to London. Then while I was going back to London, I remembered from my childhood, my father used to sing Rumi's poetry, and it came to my mind, oh, Rumi is buried in Turkey, in Konya. I must visit him. So I took my cab and gone to the Konya. I thought it is near, but it took me 7 hours, but only $100 was I have to pay to the taxi man. When I go there, I felt totally different. So in Konya, at the tomb where he's buried, I felt peace, and I bought just one book, and then after a couple of hours spending there, I came back. I took a flight from Ankara to London, and while in the plane, I was reading this book, and I was so absorbed into book that I don't want to even touch water, tea. They're asking me. I said nothing, and I arrived back at home. So it was 12 midnight, and then I sit down on my sofa, and I just felt that some invisible person is there and is talking and guiding me that you read this and you read that. I did read that. It was just like a spiritual, some Quranic verses. When I did that, within minutes, I'm relieved. I'm relaxed. It was midnight, and after that, I just start doing my normal practice, but my heart become empty from the materialism, and my heart is more being filled with the spiritual essence of man. And I think that this was the point that I discovered or I awakened to understand my spiritual essence. And since that time, I feel that most of our fellow beings, our brothers and sisters, they do not recognize their spiritual being, their spiritual essence. This is where the problem is. And from that day, I start, you see, doing all studies and various, and the Rumi's books and all that. And a Rumi book taught me to be human being, to be friend with everybody, to love everybody, not to hate anybody, whether they are atheists, whether they are Christians, whatever faith they have, whatever color they have, they are the God's creatures, so you just love them. Do good things, and if they harm you, just forget it and forgive it. So this made change my whole dimension of my mind, and this I felt more relaxed, more peaceful, and no, it. But it made another thing in me that I wanted to run away somewhere to a monastery or somewhere in seclusion, in a solitude that where I just connect myself to God. But I had one son. So I don't want to neglect him. He was growing young. He was maybe 16. I thought, no, until and unless he gets his education completed, he gets married, then I will do this. And exactly that happened. After he got married, the next day, within 2 days, I left with my spiritual journey to Syria, Damascus, where some of my studies tell me that when the Holy Jesus will come back, he will descend in Damascus. And there is one minaret, it is very famous, and in the many, so I wanted to see this place where I seen it. And I go to Syria without knowing anybody, but I received so much respect as if that I was made VIP there. But this was all divine, you see, work was happening there. And after this, I return, and then lots of, you see, good dreams start coming. I seen so many good things, so many, my love, you see, for the human beings, for creature developed, and I understood what I am. And I practically closed my office in London, and then I go for a spiritual type of seclusion for a few years. And after that, I returned to UAE, and I thought, what do I do now? Because UAE laws, I don't know. London, I have given up. So, never mind, but I cannot sit idle. I'm a very active person, so I start going to the libraries, reading. During this time, commercial type of case, some client from UK came and consulted, and I don't know. Everything was, it is not that I did that. I got a big license for a big insurance company, but if I see that it was my ability or my competence, no. This was all God's help. So he compensating me with financially, right, because I had taken his way. Since that time, I experienced many things. And now my mission is this, that if I understood this, why not others? Every American I love, every Nigerian I love, every Arab I love, any country you see, I feel that country belongs to me. Wherever I go, I feel at home. So I call myself universal child. I think that we need to go back to our spiritual essence. We have to find it out. I think the olden time, there was the monasteries, the churches were doing these, even Jewish religion, there was Kabbalah, Islamic religion, there was Sufism, where the Rumi belongs to. And these all things have diminished from our society. Kabbalah is not left there. Sufism not left there. Other, you see, the church people used to go to the monasteries for spiritual elevation. that is stopped, and we are more, you see, connected with the money and materialism. That's why devil is
right.
playing with us. And if today we finish our greed, I think that greed is our big enemy, than our egoism that, oh, I am this and I'm that. The minute we demolish these type of, you see, our enemies, and these enemies are with the greed, egoism, jealousy, and injustice. If we finish them, I think that if we feel that what I feel for myself, I feel for the others, then it will be another world. Our world is, you see, everything we have. How much wealth our world today has, how much food we have today. In the past, we didn't have like that. Every transport, every, you see, the modern technology. So why not? Why there is no peace? Why there is, you see, torture? Why they're killing? Why the war? So this is because we have neglected our real self. And when we are leaving, this is here, we are like guests, right? Just in a transitory period. So ultimately, every one of us has to leave it. And if we realize this, then we're not going to fight. We are not going to, get greedy like that. If I just leave it over here and for your next question, and then I will go for the maybe Rumi more.
You know, I agree, Mansoor, with a lot of the things you said. You know, one of the things that I think is very important to remember and to point out again is to know who our enemies are. And the way you're saying it, it's not like our enemies are each other. Our enemies are these misplaced values. And those are something that we need to reach inside ourselves and reevaluate and look at, because you're right, materialism, we have so much of it, yet we're still so empty. And the other thing I think is true is I like that you, I mean, I too feel like I'm a, like you said, universal child, you know, I'll say global citizen labels, but I agree. I feel like we should be able to feel at home anywhere we go, and I don't think a lot of us feel that. You know, we feel very in fear of our brothers and sisters because what we've been told,
yeah.
what we see on the news, and, you know, that causes all this division and hatred and, you know, fear of the unknown, you know, when we should be coming together and talking to each other and finding ways to compromise. You know, so I like, and I do feel like whether you know, there's so many different wise sages of the past, whether you're talking about Rumi like we are today, or you're talking about Jesus or the Buddha, you know, but they all had really great teachings that it seems like we've forgotten, you know, and that's what, something I think is important. So, you know, why do you feel like Rumi is a good person, you know, his teachings are relevant to today? And what are some
yes.
more of his teachings?
Yes. You see, it was 1207 when Rumi was born, at that time under Persian Empire. And today's world, it is a place called Balkh, which is falling now into the new world, Afghanistan. And during the wars, these were waged by the Hulagu and Genghis Khan. During that period when they feel threatened, so the Rumi's father was very famous scholar, very well known. So he left that area with Rumi just as a child. And they moved to the this Turkey, which that time was called Rum. And this in Rum, they moved in a place, Anatolia. And there they settled down. And Rumi's father, he was a scholar, so he established a school there. And he was teaching there. Rumi studied under his father. And after his father passed away, so Rumi took over school. And he got a lot of fame because of his knowledge and his lectures and his studies and his character. Everybody was very happy, very famous. And what happens one day that he is just walking, because now we have cars and we have so many things, but that time transportation was through donkeys and mules and camels. So he has a mule on his back. His total treasure were books in a just like a piece of cloth, so they are just binding and on the back of the mule. So by the side of the bank, he was going towards his house, and he confronting with a beggar type looking person. And this beggar says hello to him, and after this he asks him a question about the universe. And Rumi was surprised who this person is. Like a beggar, he's asking me this question about universe, and Rumi was unable to answer. And during this time, what this person said, his name was Shams of Tabriz. So what he did, that he put the bag of his books into the bank in the canal water. Oh, Rumi got very upset, and he just shouted at him that, oh, madman, what did you do? He said, what is the use of these books? What you will do with them? They cannot answer one question. So what's good about them? You want these books? I can give you back. So Rumi got more mad, from where he will get it? They are drowned in the water. But he just put his hands, and books are coming back dry on the back of the mule. He said, okay, take the books. You want knowledge or you want these books? Oh, now Rumi is taken over by this beggar-looking type of spiritual saint. He said to him, look, who are you? He said, I am the one who has the question and who has the answer. Oh, he said, please, can you come with me? Please be my guest. So Shams walked with him to his house. When he arrived at house, he sees his wife from a very noble family, his sons, everybody is looking, oh, this great scholar accompanying this type of a beggar at home. He said, no, he's my guest. He's my noble guest. Please make this and that. And he takes him to his living room. And he said, he closed the door. He said, please don't disturb. Only you bring the tea or whatever and like that. Oh, they don't understand how he can be, a beggar can be the sheikh or the teacher of this Rumi, who is a great scholar. 40 days they spent like this. He forgot about his wife, his children, his school. Only he's getting out for prayers or here, there. And the 40 days, and Shams taught him 40 rules, which are now in the book available everywhere, 40 rules of love. This is divine love. Every day he was teaching him one rule. And when it comes to the lot of after 1 week, 2 weeks, family getting upset, students getting upset, whole vicinity that who is this man? He has done some magic, played magic or spell. Bad spell on Rumi, so he's not doing any lectures, he's just hypnotized by this person. What we do about how we can get, so many people tried various ways, but Rumi not listening to anyone. Now it is coming to the end week, and this Shams asking him, because he was a scholar and a Muslim, so the alcohol shouldn't be drunk according to Islamic faith, so he asking him, okay, go to the tavern and bring 2 bottles of wine. Oh, Rumi said, for God's sake, people know me twice and this, I never touched it. He said, look, you care about people or you want to care about your God? What I say to you, please go. He went there. He said he bought this the wine and brought back, and people went gone to the tavern. They were surprised about his presence. And they can't believe that Rumi is going to drink this. And people who in the street seeing this, everybody start talking. Oh, look at Rumi. He started drink. We seen him there. Maybe he was doing it quietly, and now he has bought it this drink. He comes back home. His family sees him. They are all upset. What this madman has done to Rumi? And this man says, oh, thank you. Thank you for this wine. This is very nice. Give me 1 bottle. Lest we sit down outside in the garden. They sit down there. And he poured 1 bottle of wine into a plant, which was a rose plant. And within minutes, that rose, it was a dried one, so it becomes green. And after a few minutes, the rose flower appeared on that. Oh, Rumi then understood. This is what he meant. Then the second bottle, he did the same way. After this, you see a lot of talk against Rumi, criticism among the religious circle, other circles. that what he is doing is in the, he's playing in the madman's hand. And people thought that we cannot release him from his clutches unless we kill this person. Rumi's one son was very polite. The other, the younger one, was getting very, very angry with this Shams and threatening him. And he said, whatever, we have to kill him. Excuse me. So they say, oh. But the people of God, they understood, and the Shams disappeared, mysteriously disappeared. So the Rumi is left, but Rumi is not changing. Rumi is absorbed in the divine love. Rumi is talking all about his Sheikh, where he's gone, where the Shams gone, where is my teacher gone. And then he started writing poems. He was never a poet. So he wrote 35,000 verses, and they later went up to 70,000. All the verses, every single verse, is about the universe, about nature, about mankind, about the whatever beautiful things, love. That the philosophy was this, that look, only religion is love. You love God, you love God's creature, you love yourself, you love your enemies, you love the everybody. When you spread love, never hate anybody. Whosoever, he said, okay, whatever you are atheist, please come to me. Whatever you believe, come to me. And his sittings, then he started this type of that he is going to be in a state of trance, and he start like a whirling dervish, which we see them in the televisions and all that. This is how he initiated, that he's absorbed in the love of God, and then he start dancing, right, in the like a whirling dervish. Then he created this particular dress, and there is a special, you see, method how you do it. And a lot of meaning to this. When this all happened, and the Christian, Jews, Muslims, other, all attending his lectures and his lessons and coming to and loving him. And after this, when he passes away, he said, look, when I pass away from this world, celebrate that night, because that is the most happiest day for me, that I will be meeting my beloved God, right? So spiritually, so according to him, a person's body dies, but soul never dies. Soul is there. This body takes another, the soul takes another shape, and it goes to another world, better world, and after that, for a transitory period, they go to the paradise, and all this philosophy going on. So beautiful way he explained it. And that time, we are talking about the 13th century. These books mostly were written by hand or whatever, and they spread all over the world, right? His Persian, because Persian Empire and Roman Empire. But both empires, people, they loved him and liked him. Until today, now, United States, whosoever I meet, they know Rumi. They're buying his books. His message is spreading after how many years? Right, as if the Rumi is today alive. This is what the one feels. When I read his books, I get absorbed. I get to another world, right? And I feel that he's right there. And really, these days, I'm planning another my spiritual visit to his place where he's buried. This is my great longing. I think within next few weeks, I will go there. And there, he make things so simple, so straight, that all people are the creature of God. We are brother and sister. And this, when I just start reading these things and understood, and it's gone into my mind, body, soul, everything. So where the hatred is left? No colors bother me. I love all colors. I love all human beings. Even those who are criminal, we pray for them. We don't have to hate them, because they are doing, we don't know how they're doing it. So this is the positiveness. And the love is the message. And his quotations are so beautiful. You have it. And many people, they, you see, the put them on the social media. In many books are there. His books are, his poetry has been translated maybe almost in every language like this. And I will advise my listeners, please, whatever, wherever you find it, it is in English, It is in 42 languages, 40 rules of love. When you read this book, read it not once, twice, then you will understand what the Rumi is and what we are. And that will resolve your all negative, you see, thoughts. And you will become more peaceful, more happy, and more positive. So that's it on
this. I like that, Manzoor. Thank you. I think that's a good idea to read that book for sure, because I was just going to say maybe that will answer the questions I have right now, but I'll still ask those questions because, you know, a lot of us say we have love in our hearts and that we love everybody, but it seems like there's conditions. There, you know, there's conditions if you're like this or you're like that or you're, and it's like, okay, if you love, there has to be, there can't be that. And what you're saying is the things that he taught are simple, but yet we live in a world right now where we make things difficult, and I think that's a hard thing for a lot of us to comprehend, because I know most of us, we do want to be happy, and we do want others to be happy, but I think it's in our actions that really tell the truth of our wantings, because we can say one thing but do another. I mean, for instance, I feel very blessed to live in America. We're probably one of the richest people on the planet as far as material things are concerned. You know, even the poorest person here in America is richer than a lot of people on this earth. Yet we can be so, you know, we fail to see what, like a lot of the Western countries anyways, you know, we have all this materialist stuff, but then we forget about everybody else on the other end. How are they living? And that's what doesn't help me sleep at night, is I love what I have, but I want that to be equal for everyone else. And so it's so hard because we live in a world where it's like a duality world where you have to have darkness to have light. You have to have up and down. And so it makes me wonder, so is it meant to be that some of us are more well off while others suffer? Is that just the way of this world? Or can we really truly make this place better while we're here? Or is it meant for suffering for some? You know, that's a hard thing. So another question I have for you, Manzoor, is, you know, with all that division, you know, what are other ways that we can come together?
You see, I think this is a time that even our governments, they have all the resources. If there is some kind of, you see, the programs are started that they try to find the genuine, sincere people who are not looking for money, but looking to train people, to teach them, to bring them back to their spiritual essence, this type of seminar, conferences, lectures, if they encourage, definitely you are doing it, I am doing it, but we are two people can do it for a limited period of time, and we cannot access and reach to every single person in the planet. So this has to be, get a kind of, you see, the patronage when this message may be spread. Maybe people who are listening, many people would be people of some influence. And our, you see, goal is not the political. Our goal is not the religious in that strict sense. We are all believers in one God, and that's it, and one creature, and we are children of Adam and Eve. So this is the our, you see, the man equal ground. And those enemies, which are obviously the hidden enemies, if we overcome that egoism, selfishness, greed, pride, arrogance, if we can get rid of these, our lots of problems will be solved itself. We don't have to need even to bring the police to solve these. These we have to do it through spiritual exercise, through talk of love, respect, telling each other, like you're a family. You see, the small family, this is whatever the political science or social sciences, they start with a society, and the society they start from a family. And the family, if they we start even the training the small families, it will bring a big change. That you see, the in brother and sister in one family, nobody is important. All are equal. And they get the same food. They get the same type of things, the treatment. So this is what we have, that in our past program, we mentioned these things, that all our desires are the same as human desires. Everybody wants this and that materially. And once you see, we convince people, look, we are not getting happy through the material wealth and these types and big cars and flashy cars and all these luxuries and big villas and big castles. Still, we are unhappy. We are lonely. We are with people, right? We have lots of the friends on the social media, the Facebook, you see 1,000, 2,000. But still people are lonely because they are looking this, you see, the happiness outside, but this is inside their heart. We are looking, the Rumi said to people, look, you looking God to Kaaba or church or this place or that place. No, God is within your heart. You look it into your heart. When you look into your heart, you don't have to go anywhere. You sit at your home and you will be at peace and you will be connected with God. When you get connected with the God, all your worries are solved. Then he takes care of you. And you don't know that how things are happening, right? How problems are solved. How these things in front of us, how the Jesus, Holy Jesus was treating people. People have leprosy, people have blindness, people, all those things with miracle. Because he is a man of God. He has that spiritual power. This spiritual power, he tried to pass it over through his fellow beings, and through them it should have it spread to some extent, and many people still they are there, but not everybody. We have to go back to those roots to regenerate that spiritual energy and our spiritual essence. This is the only way the world will see the peace, and we cannot conquer the world or the countries by the weapons and the drones and these item bombs and these things. Nothing will work. We can conquer the world through the love. Weapon of love is the strongest weapon. And good words, manners, good manners, and I think compassion is the very, very, very basic thing that we should have, full of compassion. We think about others the same way. Somebody is suffering. Somebody is committing the crime. We should think why he has done it. I haven't done it. Why he has done it? So those causes, if we diagnose like a doctor and treat people with respect, whatever, I don't mean that we just leave the criminals whatever they want to do, no. But those people, even the wherever they go, nobody wants to leave his home. Wherever you go, you want to come back to your home. You want to belong to this, your little house is your little castle, right? So the people will not go anywhere, they will not do anything but they don't understand. Out of, you see, this arrogance, they commit most of the crime. If arrogance is demolished, no crime will happen. If anybody says anything out of, you see, the hard talk, people start, you see, hitting each other. And if this arrogance is gone, then they will not hit each other. They will listen to each other. They will accommodate each other. Similarly, greed. All the wars, right? I asked one retired general from Britain. He passed away, may God bless his soul. I asked him, General, tell me that why these wars they take happen. He said that only greed, resources, right? So how many resources we are going to have it, right? Even those people, generals, those people, they have conquered the world and all resources they have, but they did it. How much they have taken with them? Nothing. You come to this world empty-handed. You go to this world empty-handed. Very, very simple dress you have, right? And the place you are buried are cremated, so what is this is your end. So why we have to hold and go for greed and grab this and grab that? Like, no, rather we should be generous. We should be. Today, if we become like, you see, nobody, we have a surplus wealth, surplus food we have. But still, people are dying without water. People are dying without food because we are not considering them and we want to eat the best thing and not the others. So this is the only way, is love and respect and the humanity that we have is full of compassion. We treat everybody, expects that, everybody. So that's it.
I agree, Mansoor. I really do. Well, you know, I really like that you pointed out that God, love, it all starts in our heart. That really does. I mean, we, like you said, people go, I mean, it's nice to go to churches and monasteries and wherever, but you don't have to go outside of yourself. And I think that's what people mainly forget is it starts within ourselves and to be quiet. And a lot of us have this problem of being alone or feeling that like it's like alone, like this loneliness. But it's not. Like having silence and having this inner quiet, that's not a bad thing. It gives you a chance to hear, you know, you can hear source, you can hear energy, whatever you want to call that, God. And I thought it was interesting that you were talking about Jesus and, like, you know, how he performed miracles, you know, body work. And, you know, I used to do massage and body work, and, you know, I did very well. And people used to ask me, wow, you're so good at it. I don't think it was really me. I think a lot of people that do body work or energy work, they will tell you that they're just working with source. We're just a channel. And it's like, you know, for me, when I was working on people, I would just, the way I would look at it is I think of them as if they were my family. Even if I didn't know the person on my table, I think of them, oh, that's my mother, my grandmother, that's my brother. And I just send them this deep sense of love, a love like maybe they feel like as if God was loving them. And the thing is, these people, they feel it because energy is everywhere, so you feel it. So I really believe, you know, we can change so many things if we all connect back to source, whatever you want to call it, and just channel that, you know. And, of course, there's two sides of energy. You've got the negative and you've got the positive. So what are you giving out? Are you giving out the dark? Are you going to give out the light? So, Mansoor, we've got about 8 minutes left, and, you know, this show is a wellness show also. And so I wanted to see, because you have a lot of good insight, but I wanted to see, is there anything else, any other advice that you would say for people on how to take care of their soul better so they can stay well?
You see, like our body, it needs proper food, right? Healthy food. Our soul and spirit also need a diet. That diet is spiritual diet. That is diet which was prescribed by the God sent prophets and messengers and saints in the world in different forms. And those teachings, if we follow with the heart, right, not the artificially, just they written the book and you just read the book. No. You have to read those things with your heart, and you have to think them that how it relates to you and how you can change your self and get rid of all those, you see, evil thoughts and evil type of actions. And those all actions, whether it is going out of anger or going out of greed or whatever, these are the evil actions. So we need to get rid of, clean ourselves. And this is where our heart will become more, you see, the positive. It will start, you see, the guiding us. And you see, when we start, you see, feeling our heart in our daily life, and this heart is full of compassion, full of love, a heart full of love, not heart full of hate, not heart full of anger. When we clean our heart and we contemplate why we go to the seclusion, the monasteries, just for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 40 days, why Moses gone and other prophets been doing the same thing, because in seclusion and solitude, you reconnect yourself to God. And you see the following, because all religions, whether you take the Bible, you take Torah, you take Quran, you take Gita, whatever, and all these people, they are trying their religious, they want to try to connect. Those books, they are teaching us the same thing. Do not commit, crime, theft, murder, adultery, etc., etc., etc. If we try to find those even 12 commandments, which are common in all religions, and just we want to implement them in ourselves, I tell you that we will change ourselves. Our inner soul, our heart will become clean. And I said to some of my lecturers that we all try to how I look, my tie, how my the shoes or shoe shine is there. But we need to polish our hearts first, right? We don't care about our heart. Our heart is, dusted. our heart is polluted. We have to take care of our heart to clean it, and we can clean it through love. When we start just slowly, slowly developing this love and our clarity of thoughts, good thoughts, and then we start giving positive energy to people. You see, people meet, so they either give you the positive energy or the negative energy. When every one of them start feeling that, look, I have to meet this person, I have to behave very nicely, very politely, I will love him, I will not hate him, I will not do bad things, and I give the positive energy. This will change that person. You will become all friends. You spread the love. The message is the love. Spread the love. And never think of hate. Never think of anger. Get away from it. This is how, once your heart is completely cleaned, and heart is the center of your mankind. One writer, you see, he wrote the Ibn Arabi from Spain, and he became Muslim, and at 23 years of age, he wrote a book that this man himself is a universe. So this universe, if you discover your own universe, then the whole universe is open in front of your eyesight. Then your eyesight will become different. You could see beyond the walls when your heart is recharged. So this is where our all exercise should be, the cleaning our heart, cleaning our thoughts, becoming positive, and then spreading love whosoever comes our way. So we greet people, they will greet you back. Even if they don't greet you back, don't mind. Go to next. Like all these prophets were doing, they never cared about anything. The Holy Jesus did the same way. This story little of Prophet Muhammad, that one lady used to throw dust and thorns on his way. 3 days he did not find her. And he thought, what happened to this lady? He never got upset with her. Then he knocked at door and she got scared and she said, oh, Muhammad, you are here? He said, yes, I'm here because 3 days I did not see you. I thought you are not well. Oh, this lady changed, completely changed. This was the type of the message Prophet Muhammad spread in the world. Today, on his name, the bad things are happening. They got nothing to do with him. Because this Sufi Islam is the true Islam. This is all people, all ages. Today, you go to India, there were Sufi sheikhs. All Hindus respect and love them. Christians love them. So there was no hatred, right? Muslims, Christians, Jews, these are all can be together. Buddhist, whosoever, even the believers, non-believers, we don't have to hate each other. We have to respect.
Right.
And we have to talk. That is the message.
I agree, Mansoor.
Thank you
so
much.
I just wanted to say thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you for your great work.
Thank you too, Mansoor. I think, you know, when it takes people like us and more people to come together, and definitely we're not the only ones out there, you know, spreading this message of love, and we just want to say thank you out there to everyone who is doing their part, and those that are listening today, you know, please take a time to let this absorb into yourself, share it with others, share it with your friends and family, share it with your network, because we know you got a lot of social media people. And we just wish you a really healthy, blessed week. Mansoor, thank you again so much for taking the time to come on here.
Yes.
Okay, you're welcome. Everyone listening, enjoy. Take care. Big, big hugs.
Bye-bye. Take care.